Christian Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. Get ready for some summer sizzle. The first heat wave of the year will be here this weekend. We're well into the 90s, both Saturday and Sunday. That heat will continue its streak, too, well into the middle of next week. COVID cover-up. That is the other big story this Friday.
I do not believe this came from a bat to a human.
More questions than answers today when it comes to how the world caught COVID. State Department officials say they were warned not to pursue probes into the pandemic. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo led that effort.
We had a group inside the State Department working diligently to get this information out to the American people so the world could see what the Chinese Communist Party had done to all of us.
Pompeo's probe was stopped over concern that any investigation into China's Wuhan Institute of Virology could, quote, open up a can of worms. Questions now remain over whether the virus took place naturally or whether it was leaked from a lab in China. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Candor and openness and transparency do not go in the same sentence when it comes to China. They will never tell you the truth until they're made to do so.
Graham says COVID most likely leaked from that lab in China. Florida Senator Marco Rubio agrees.
This outbreak started in the very city where that lab is located. There isn't a bat cave in Wuhan's an enormous city. It's like the size of Manhattan. There's no bat caves there. And by the way, under SARS, they found the animal that spread it within 4 months. Under MERS, they found the animal that spread it within 9 months. Still, to this day, the Chinese have not said, this is the animal that first spread it over to a human being.
Conservative commentator Mark Levin accuses Democrats of playing politics with COVID.
We're going to follow the science, they say. Ladies and gentlemen, newsflash. The science has been politicized, and not by conservatives, but by the radical left. They want to destroy our economy based on their science.
After initially shutting down the Trump-era probe into COVID's origins, President Biden has now ordered his intelligence community to look into it and report back to him by the end of the summer. Good, but not great. That's how money minds are characterizing today's highly anticipated jobs report. The numbers out today showed the U.S. economy adding just 559,000 jobs last month. That's below the 670,000 the experts were expecting.
This report is very indicative of where we are in the labor force. This number could have been a lot better, but because of policy and all this money that we are throwing at people, whether it be the extended unemployment benefits, the food stamps expanding, et cetera, people are still not going back to the office.
That's Fox News business analyst Maria Bartiromo.
Having said all that, this was a good number. You've got more than 500,000 jobs created in the month of May. You've got an unemployment rate continuing to tick down. You've got the best performing sector here, hospitality and leisure, indicating clearly a reopening of the economy.
The unemployment rate dropped to 5.8%. That's the lowest since the pandemic began. President Biden has dropped the price tag on his massive infrastructure bill to $1 trillion. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
We continue to talk and we hope we get an outcome. If we can't reach a bipartisan agreement, I would expect the administration and the congressional Democrats to try to push through a very large package. So my advice to the president and the administration, let's reach an agreement on infrastructure that's smaller but still significant.
If there's no deal, Democrats could try and go it alone through budget reconciliation, but they'll need every Democrat on board to buck bipartisanship. And West Virginia's Joe Manchin just isn't there.
I know everyone's in a hurry right now. If anyone understands the process, it's President Joe Biden. We can't continue to split and go further apart.
But progressives like Vermont's Bernie Sanders says it's time to do away with the filibuster and get a deal done with or without Republican support.
Our only alternative now is to use reconciliation. If we're going to stand up for working families, what we need to do is use reconciliation. And of course, we need to get rid of the filibuster.
Senator Manchin says if Democrats try and ram through an infrastructure deal on their own, it'll be a disaster waiting to happen. First, it was fuel. Now it's food being targeted by Russian-based hackers. The U.S. Justice Department has now designated these ransomware attacks as a form of terrorism.
You may not be interested in cyber, but cyber is interested in you. And unfortunately, that's the reality for all Americans today.
And Kara Frederick at the Heritage Foundation doesn't see any end to it anytime soon.
Success engenders success, and these hackers are going to keep doing it. It's a wide open space to wreak havoc.
President Biden will address these ransomware attacks with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin when the two world leaders meet in 2 weeks. A mother from Rhode Island is facing a lawsuit for trying to get information about critical race theory being taught in her daughter's school.
This is what they do. They smear people who ask them questions. It's just a false accusation of racism that they use to bully you into silence. They reduce everyone down to the color of their skin.
Nicole Solis says critical race theory teaches that America's founding had more to do with preserving slavery than promoting freedom. The Georgia Board of Education voted last night to limit the teaching of critical race theory in the classroom, a move that Governor Brian Kemp supports. 10,000 volunteers are dropping out of the Summer Olympics before they even start as a fourth wave of COVID hits Tokyo. With less than 50 days to go before the opening ceremonies, the lack of volunteers could cause serious logistical problems in Japan this summer. Still to come this Friday, masking up kids in Alden, rounding up rattlesnakes in Knoxon, and bagging up hope in Bath.
Good afternoon. A summer-like weekend lies ahead. I'll be back with complete forecast details coming up. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA. Thursday, June 4th, well, as Kevin just mentioned, the first heat wave of the year arrives this weekend. Temps will soar into the 90s Saturday and Sunday. That heat streak will continue, too, right on through the middle of next week. Get those pools ready. A huge group of parents and community activists gathered Thursday in Alden, New York, to protest the mandate that students still wear masks in school.
At this point, it's just unfair, and it's not right that these children are being forced to wear masks in school. We have hot temperatures. You know, it's going to be 85 degrees next week. They're not allowed to have fans in their classrooms, and these poor kids have masks over their face that, in my opinion, serve no good.
The Alden event was one of a dozen rallies just like it all over the country yesterday. A 29-year-old police officer from Buffalo remains in critical but stable condition this afternoon after a light pole landed on his cruiser during a wild chase in Cheektowaga Thursday.
As that light pole was falling to the ground, it went through the driver's window, striking the officer who was driving the police car.
Buffalo Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo says the wounded officer has a fiance and an infant son. The four suspects he was chasing have been taken into custody. Despite the pandemic keeping more of us closer to home, traffic deaths are the highest they've been in 13 years in this country.
Traffic deaths were up 7% last year, with nearly 39,000, the most since 2007. The numbers are even more staggering when you consider the number of miles driven by Americans fell by 13%. NHTSA says we drove faster, and extreme speeding is part of the reason they say we had a higher highway death toll.
That is Peter King reporting. The New York State Assembly passing legislation that makes it a felony to forge immunization records in the wake of the pandemic. The move comes after recent reports of counterfeit vaccination cards in New York and across the country. Those who knowingly do it could face fines, even some jail time. The measure still needs to pass the state Senate and would then head to the governor's desk for his signature. A New York lawmaker has a solution for the growing labor shortage problem. Pay people to go back to work.
And right now, people are incentivized to stay home. I think it's time that we start to shift the priorities to getting people back to work instead of keeping people at home.
State Senator Ed Rath wants to give the unemployed a $1,200 signing bonus if they fill job openings. Pennsylvania public schools were the biggest beneficiary of the Commonwealth's COVID-19 relief money. Family Life's Terry Diener does some number crunching for us.
The free market-focused Commonwealth Foundation, using state data, determined that 29% of the $34 billion awarded to Pennsylvania by the federal government across three main stimulus packages funneled into school districts. About 24% of the funds supported health care priorities, including vaccine distribution, while an additional 21% has yet to be earmarked. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
The era of supersonic commercial flights came to an end when the Concorde completed its last trip over the Atlantic back in 2003. Now, ultra-fast air travel could be making a comeback.
We finally have the technology to do supersonic flight in a really mainstream, affordable way that's going to change the way tens of millions of people can get around the planet.
Blake Scholl is CEO of the Denver-based aerospace company Boom. United Airlines has ordered 15 jets from Boom that can travel faster than the speed of sound. United hopes to get those jets off the ground before the end of this decade. After a one-year hiatus, a popular rattlesnake hunt back in Pennsylvania. The Noxon Rattlesnake Roundup will take place in 2 weeks in northeastern PA. That hunt is held to raise money for the Noxon Volunteer Fire Department. The invasion of the cicadas continues in parts of our listening area, and now the FDA is issuing warnings about eating the bugs. Correspondent James Flippin.
Well, it's a sound of summer along the East Coast and in parts of the Midwest. Cicadas clinging to trees and sending out the buzzing signals to females in order to reproduce. The bugs emerging after being underground for 17 years. So as for the eating thing, they might not sound so appetizing, but apparently they're a great source of protein. But the FDA says don't eat cicadas if you have a seafood allergy. In a tweet, the agency said there's a familial relation between cicadas, shrimp, and lobsters.
James Flippin reporting, a dentist from Greece, New York, near Rochester, holding a free dental clinic tomorrow.
For those people who are underserved, who don't have any insurance, we just want to serve the community by providing one filling, one extraction, one cleaning.
Oliver Cabrera works at the Greece Family Dentistry.
It is going to run from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Registration opens at 8 a.m. sharp, so be there early so you can get a spot in line.
Again, this is happening tomorrow at the Greece Family Dentistry. Oliver Cabrera says if you go,
they need to bring some snacks, dress appropriately for their weather, maybe a little, some chairs, a bottle of water. It's going to be outside, so we just tell them to bring their patience with us and flexibility, and we're going to be able to provide them a great service.
Cabrera has been holding this free dental clinic for several years and says it's a blessing to serve the needs of his community. Well, speaking of serving the needs of the community, an effort is underway in Steuben County, New York, to offer assistance to those in need. It's called Bags of Hope.
And this gives us the opportunity to help ease people's fears and help them find a way hope or a way forward with hope.
County Sheriff Jim Allard says deputies will carry the bags with them in their patrol vehicles and give them to folks that they see are in need. Each bag of hope contains hygiene products, snacks, socks, bottled water, even a stuffed animal. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Let's do sports. It is the first time LeBron James hasn't made it out of the first round of the playoffs. The defending champs bounced from the playoffs last night by the Phoenix Suns.
You know, it doesn't matter to me as far as, you know, not making it out of the first round. What matters to me is getting this team back healthy. Me not being able to be at my full strength throughout this series, that's my main focus.
James now 14-1 all-time in the opening round of the playoffs. Devin Booker led the way for Phoenix, pouring in 47 points. The Nuggets also punching their ticket to the second round with a big win over Portland. Denver will meet Phoenix tonight. The Dallas Mavericks look to advance. They'll host the L.A. Clippers for Game 6 of their series. Jordan Stahl scored with 5:57 left into overtime as the Hurricanes beat the Lightning in Tampa. Carolina still trails that series 2-1. Meantime in New York, Brad Marchand scored with 3:36 left into overtime as the Bruins beat the Islanders in Union Day.
We know it's going to be a long series. They're a great team. They compete hard, and they're very structured defensively. So
They're very, very good team at responding, and you know, we expect that again next year.
Boston takes 2-1 lead in that series. Scary scene in Durham, North Carolina last night during the Bulls AAA baseball game against the Norfolk Tides. That game called in the 8th inning after pitcher Tyler Zombro was hit in the head with a line drive. The 26-year-old Tampa Bay Rays prospect taken off the field on a stretcher. He's listed in stable condition at a Duke University hospital. James Madison shocking the softball world. The unseeded Dukes beat top-seeded Oklahoma 4-3 in extra innings in their first-ever appearance in the Women's College World Series. Kate Gordon homered in the 8th to give JMU the lead. And Odichi Alexander struck out 8 Sooners in the win. JMU getting it done. From the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bill Price. Still to come this Friday, the boys are back. Capital Connection queued up on the way, plus paying for art that isn't even there.
The more we learn about the non-physical consequences of the COVID lockdowns, the more we realize we've got a lot of work to do. And that includes in the family. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Though it'll be a while before we learn the full impact of this past year on our children, the American Academy of Pediatrics recently warned that the mental health of younger Americans is absolutely suffering. Suicidal ideation, suicidal attempts, both on the rise, as are childhood diagnoses of eating disorders and other obsessive compulsive behaviors. Now, while everyone was certainly flying blind at the beginning of the pandemic in terms of what should be done, it's now becoming more and more clear that in the noble interest of protecting bodies, many public officials neglected to adequately consider the mental, emotional, and even spiritual aspects of life together. For kids especially, a full year without school and extracurricular activities has done terrible damage. Now, the merits of school lockdowns as a public health strategy will certainly be hotly debated by policymakers and parents for years to come. But as American rhythms of life return to normal, we ought to spend at least the same amount of time evaluating just how we all did at home as families. The health of our at-home habits pre-existed COVID. The rhythms of life shaping our families were more likely revealed by the lockdowns than created by them. Now, specifically, I think this can be a question for us all of 3 L's: our loves, our loyalties, and our liturgies. So if you were to ask me which one I love more, my family or my iPhone, I wouldn't even hesitate. I'd quickly reply my family. But how many times while spending an afternoon with my kids do I allow my buzzing phone to interrupt that family time? The fact is, our loyalties aren't really tested by trivia questions or even with guns to our heads. We learn what we value most by looking at our everyday habits or liturgies, those rhythms of life and relationships that we embrace, which in turn determines what gets our time and attention and what misses out. During the pandemic, almost every aspect of our lives was disrupted in both big and small ways. If some additional stress this year led to a little more screen time than usual, well, that's not necessarily a sign that your house is built on shifting sand. Still, I hope we learned through the pandemic just how much of our relative peace and safety comes from outside forces rather than inside our homes. We may have learned, for example, just how much our family liturgies actually rely on the busyness we've come to love to prioritize. More and more, as our culture goes the way it's going, Christian parents are going to have to get used to saying no to things that are widely considered normal in American life. And not just because of the obvious moral shifting happening all around us. Countercultural priorities, rethought around restored loves, renewed loyalties, and redeemed liturgies, they will earn us some strange looks, especially when it comes to things like money and stuff and time. The forces that shape most American families today aren't centered around our real needs, at least not our real spiritual needs. Keeping up with the Joneses and perfecting leisure time is a much higher priority for most of us than what it'll take to foster and nurture strong family bonds and bring up kids who know and love Jesus. COVID, of course, caught us all off guard, but unexpected challenges like it are wonderful opportunities to recalibrate. Now that the pandemic is subsiding, we might want to look carefully at whether or not normal is what we want to return to, or if instead we should rebuild the structures and habits that make our homes the kind of places that kids can land the next time the world throws us a curve. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Well, get those pools ready this weekend, folks. You'll need them. Some summer sizzle. Weatherman Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, warm. Anyone is fair game for a shower or thunderstorm, though activity will be focused around eastern Pennsylvania. Now, otherwise, it'll be warm and moderately humid, highs in the 70s and low 80s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy and mild. Fog will form for some. Low temperatures dropping into the 60s. Tomorrow and Sunday, summer-like. Mostly sunny, quite warm and humid, with only a very small chance of an afternoon thunderstorm either day. It'll be breezy, especially in western New York tomorrow in the 80s, 80s to near 90 on Sunday, cooler near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario.
All righty, Kevin Williams, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, we'll begin with you. Less than a week to go before the end of the New York State legislative session, and there is a flurry of activity in Albany. One of the big items they're working on is prison reform legislation. That seems to be a hot topic these days. What's going on here?
Yeah, this could be the premier issue that comes at the end of session. And this seems to be the issue that's percolating to the top. And that's the parole reform. Essentially, Democrats and the Democratic supermajorities in Albany are desirous of reforming parole, they call it. But essentially, an elderly inmate would be released at a certain age automatically. And there's another proposal that at age 55, regardless of crime, if a person has served 15 years for that crime and then has no bad record while in prison, they would be released at age 55. There's a third proposal that deals with the Clean Slate Act that would automatically expunge the records of all of those convicted criminals as well. So it's a wild time in Albany right now as we talk about so-called parole reform.
Yeah, and all this is happening at a time when violent crime is rising at rates we haven't seen in generations. We'll see where that goes. And while we're talking about controversial topics, Michael, nothing hotter these days than election reform legislation. We've seen in Texas lawmakers walk out. We've seen in Georgia boycotts over this. Some call these laws inherently racist. There's action in Harrisburg, but seems like things have stalled lately. Where do things stand today?
Well, the state government committee headed by Seth Grove, a state representative from York County, who called Pennsylvania's election laws god-awful. They produced a 99-page report on some of the reforms that they want to see happen. As Seth Grove has said, they want to make it easier to vote but harder to cheat. The big challenge here in Pennsylvania is that we have a Republican-led legislature and Governor Wolf, a Democrat governor, who has different ideas about what should happen. And so that kind of brings an impasse in terms of really bringing change. Then you have the county boards of election that are calling for different changes that they want. So when changes are going to happen, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. One of the big issues this summer is going to be the labor shortage problems. We're seeing it already. Ironically, both New York and Pennsylvania have an unemployment rate that's about 2% above the national average. But there are tens of thousands of jobs out there that just can't fill those jobs. In New York, Senator Ed Rath is calling for a $1,200, for lack of a better term, signing bonus to get people off the couch and into these jobs. How bad is it in New York, Jason?
Well, I'll tell you, we're seeing these challenges all over the place. I mean, pizzerias, restaurants, various kinds of businesses just can't hire people. Manufacturers can't hire people. And so I do think that we are now disincentivizing work, and that's one of the unintended consequences of public policy, is there are these things that happen. You pass a measure, and then there are unintended consequences. In this case, we are now incentivizing people not to work. We have got to get people back to work. A good work ethic is good. There's a biblical principle for it, and it's good for our economy and our state and our nation.
Yeah, and in Pennsylvania, this is coming. You know, restaurants and small business owners are finally got the stranglehold of COVID behind them, but they can't find workers to fill these jobs. Talk about the problem that it's posing in Pennsylvania, Michael.
Yeah, same sorts of problems that are happening here, whether it's the trucking industry that can't find workers, the manufacturing, restaurants. My son works in the restaurant restaurant industry in an advertising side of things, but he says the chain that he works for is finding it to be crisis mode in terms of finding employment. No such incentives yet have been presented here in Pennsylvania, but the work requirement or the job search requirement is going to be reenacted or put back in place for those who are on unemployment starting in July.
Yeah, and June, of course, it used to be called Gay Pride Month. That's been shortened to just Pride Month, Jason, and we see it everywhere. How can Christians winsomely articulate their objections to the LGBTQ agenda while at the same time not appearing to be overtly antagonistic here? There just seems to be this, if you can't beat them, join them mindset when it comes to this issue, even in the church today in many circles. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, it's a great question that's sorely needed for the day in which we live. I think social media is a great starting point. There are lots of times that Christians just need to learn to scroll on by what's on there. It is very difficult to engage in a social media debate without it becoming very angry, people misinterpreting what you mean, what is said. We have to be very careful. I think that, you know, you mentioned winsomely, articulately. We have to be able to define our positions that we love people. We do love individuals. We will certainly disagree with certain decisions that people make, but we do have to first express love to those individuals. And remember, there is a difference between the individual who is struggling with their sexual orientation or their identity, as opposed to the militant movement that is out there that is looking to advocate for legislation that Michael and I are often working against.
Yeah.
And so it really is important to differentiate and to love the individual.
Great point. This is an issue in Pennsylvania as well, because for the second year in a row, Michael, the lieutenant governor is breaking the law. John Fetterman defying state law by displaying a pride flag at the Capitol. How does he continue to get away with this?
Well, he not only displays the pride flag, but marijuana flags, etc. He just exemplifies what progressivism is in the United States and here in Pennsylvania today. It's a lack of respect for the rule of law. He doesn't care about the rule of law. And it's just progressivism. And then we have a progressive governor who's not going to do anything or use the force of his executive branch to do anything about the lieutenant governor thumbing his nose at the law.
Yeah, last I checked, they had removed the flag. Has he put another one back up?
He keeps doing it, and he says he's going to keep doing it. So I haven't looked over at the Capitol yet today,
okay.
But that's going to be a back and forth that keeps going.
Well, elder abuse is an issue that we've talked about on this program, Jason, when it comes to assisted suicide. That's always been your concern, that it could lead to elder abuse. There is legislation in the works. I couldn't believe it till I saw it on your website, that would deny food and water to dementia patients. Talk about that.
Yeah, essentially it's a modification of our healthcare proxy law. So if an individual has a surrogate who will make the healthcare decisions for them should they become incapacitated, this new bill would allow that surrogate to determine that an incapacitated person would no longer receive food or water by mouth. So applesauce for dementia patients. If a dementia patient wants a sip of water because they're thirsty, you would have medical personnel that will be instructed to deny that individual food and hydration. That just takes an enormous leap towards euthanasia, and is a place that we cannot go here in the Empire State or anywhere in the world.
Mm. Three pro-life bills voted out of the House Health Committee last week, Michael. The governor's promised to veto them all. He doesn't have to worry about re-election. But how much of a risk is it for Democrats who do if they reject these measures?
Well, it really depends on what district and the demographics of the district and where those legislators will be running. There are some swing districts in the state where the pro-life issue is going to make a big difference. And it also depends on what, for example, listeners to this radio program do in their own districts. If they have that situation where they have a legislator who's voted against it, are they going to turn out to vote? Are they going to encourage their neighbors to take a stand on the sanctity of life? That's where it really ends up at the ballot box and what the citizens do.
And we'll spend the last minute talking about masks. This weekend, Jason, my church, where I attend, will be allowing parishioners who are vaccinated to go without a mask. A first time in a long time that has happened. I know a lot of folks are looking forward to that. But what is your advice to churches that are still conflicted about what the rules are on this?
Yeah, love and grace for one another. You know, I'm noticing as I'm going out in society today, and I'm not wearing a mask, and so I'm noticing how uncomfortable some people are around people that are not wearing masks.
Yeah.
And how judgmental some people can be of people that are wearing masks. And so I think the word of the day for us going forward, and for the Christian all the time, is going to be love and grace. The person who approaches you with a mask, just give them some grace. And the person is not wearing a mask, give them some grace. Yeah. Together we can't get through this. We're almost there.
Yeah, we are. I can't wait for the end of this. And Michael, the masks come off in your state June 28th. You expect there to be much blowback over this?
You know, I think there's going to be the same sort of thing, which is suspicion from both sides of people looking at those who continue to wear a mask or those who are not wearing a mask. I think the emails that came out from Dr. Fauci early on in the COVID epidemic, where he was saying that the masks are really not terribly effective in things, are going to probably add to the public debate. But I think, as Jason said, we need to express grace to one another.
All right, and we did it all in 10 minutes. Fastest 10 minutes in radio. Hey, end of New York State legislative session. Learn more about the bills they're working on. Jason, what's your website, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And stay informed on all the issues. Big pro-life rally happening this September in Pennsylvania. Where can folks learn more, Michael?
PAfamily.org.
Show as always. It's called Capital Connection. Comes your way Fridays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A summer-like weekend is ahead with temperatures reaching the 80s and near 90 and sunshine prevailing. However, keep in mind that there will be a thunderstorm risk, however slight. Thunderstorms are a better bet this afternoon, especially in eastern Pennsylvania, so keep an eye on the sky. The call for this afternoon, warm. Anyone is fair game for a shower or thunderstorm, though activity will be focused around eastern Pennsylvania. Now, otherwise, it'll be warm and moderately humid, highs in the 70s and low 80s. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy and mild. Fog will form for some. Low temperatures dropping into the 60s. Tomorrow and Sunday, summer-like, mostly sunny, quite warm and humid, with only a very small chance of an afternoon thunderstorm either day. It'll be breezy, especially in western New York tomorrow in the 80s. 80s to near 90 on Sunday. Cooler near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario.
All righty, Kevin Williams, have yourself a fantastic weekend. Finally, this Friday, apparently somebody's got money to burn. An invisible sculpture has just sold at auction. That's right, invisible, meaning there's nothing there. Correspondent Michael Kastner says you're not going to believe what somebody paid for it.
The invisible sculpture only cost a bidder just over $18,000. Italian artist Salvador Garo sold the sculpture at an auction recently along with a certificate of authenticity. The buyer is anonymous, but it will be displayed in a 5x5 private space. The artist described the piece as a vacuum, nothing more than a space full of energy. I'm Michael Kastner.
You gotta be kidding me. Well, whatever floats your boat. Thank you, Michael. That's the world we live in this Friday. Thanks for coming along. Have yourself a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.